أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، we thank and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send darood and salam upon the beloved and final messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we send blessings upon his family, and we send blessings upon the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Our subject is Shaitan's plan for man. A lesson was commenced with in the Ramadan of the year 1411 after Hijrah, and we continue with it in the holy month of Shawwal of the year 1411 after the Hijrah. And we are in the last days of April, and soon we will be commencing with the month of May, last week of April this is, of the year 1991 of the Christian era. We left off our subject when I recited this ayat of the Quran to you. I will recite that ayat again because we will be continuing with a commentary and an explanation of this ayah. It was as follows: Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Fawaswasa lahuma shaytanu liyubdiya lahuma ma wuriya anhuma min sawatihima wa qala ma nahakuma rabbukuma an hadhihi shajarati illa an takuna malakaini aw takuna min al-khalidin. This was from Surah A'raf, 7th surah of the Quran, ayat number 20, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to them. Now obviously, you know, to them would mean Adam and Hawa. And Shaitan whispered evil suggestions to them both. Lahuma. Evil suggestions to them both, that he might make known to them that which lay hidden from them of their shame. And he, Shaitan, said, your sustainer has not forbidden you this tree, but that by eating it you should become angels, or that you become immortals, meaning that you live in Jannah forever. This is an ayah of the Quran. Our stories are based on these ayat of the Quran. And I have explained to you that these stories have been taken from the aqwal, from the sayings and the explanations given to the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in by Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I continued explaining this part of the story to you, that Adam and Hawa were adorned in Jannah. The story up till now is taking place. Everything that I have said that has taken place so far has taken place in Jannah. All the marriage ceremony, the nikah of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam and Hawa alayhi wasalam, all this has taken place in Jannah. And they are dressed in the beautiful arrayed in the beautiful raiments of Jannah, adorned gracefully and seated on the throne of Jannah. I've also explained that the malaikas have placed on their head the throne, the crown of glory of Jannah on their heads also, both of Adam and of Hawa. And it is this garment that they had on of Jannah which drew a jealous response, one of envy and jealousy from Shaitan, that when he saw Adam formally, while he was being created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he was in an ugly mold of clay. Shape took place after a period, but he was in an ugly mold of clay and daga, earth, alright? So, in a lifeless mud form. Now all of a sudden, when he saw Adam in Jannah and also accompanied with a wife, Hawa, he could not bear, and he was struck with pangs of jealousy. And his intention was that if he could make them eat of the forbidden fruit, then obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove them from Jannah, or so Shaitan concluded. And Shaitan was a very intelligent creation of Allah ta'ala. He could surmise with a great degree of accuracy what the action of Allah Ta'ala would be. He was so brilliant, so clever, so shrewd, not brilliant, so shrewd, that he had already calculated, if I can make Adam and Hawa eat of this forbidden fruit, then Allah Ta'ala would punish them in one form or another. I, Shaitan, Iblis, who was Azazil, who worshipped Allah Ta'ala for the longest period in creation, up to that time. The Anbiya's came afterwards on earth. But up to that particular and specified time, Azazil had worshipped Allah Ta'ala most adoringly for the longest period. And he, on refusing to obey a commandment of Allah Ta'ala to perform sujood of Adam, was removed from Jannah. He himself concluded, therefore, if Adam and Hawa break a command of Allah Ta'ala, they would also be, in similar vein, removed from Jannah. Allah Ta'ala removed me, concluded Shaitan, from Jannah because of one act of disobedience. Therefore, if Adam and Hawa disobey one single command of Allah Ta'ala, they will also be removed. This clothing is of Jannah. Obviously, they will shed their clothing also, and their clothing would be removed when they are expelled from Jannah. These were the things I spoke on last week, and we continue from there onwards. The desire of Adam and Hawa was to stay permanently in Jannah. And Shaitan's suggestions that such eternity, such eternal life could be achieved through eating the fruit of the forbidden tree was a very tempting and a very inviting one. As angels, they would dwell in Jannah forever. Look how shrewd Shaitan is. He tells them, you eat of this fruit of the forbidden tree and you will become like angels. And this is what Adam and Hawa wanted. For if they were turned into angels, they would never be removed from Jannah. For angels have access to Jannah all the time. Adam could not resist. But Hawa was slowly bending and inclining to Shaitan's evil suggestions. Her fear was greater about leaving Jannah and going into some unknown destiny. Well, women have this, and they have inherited it from their mother, the protective instinct to protect, to care. This they have inherited, and their mother, our mother, had this in its highest form, the instinct to protect, to care, to love, to cherish, to sympathize, to empathize. The plant itself, this is what I was going to discuss last week and I cut it off. The plant itself, what was this forbidden tree? What tree was it? We hear so many different stories that it was an apple tree, we hear it was a vine tree, we hear that it was so many different trees. What does Islam have to say about this? What do the Islamic commentators have to say? What do the Mufassireen and the Muhaddiseen of Islam have to say? What fruit was this and what tree was this? Well, here is their version. Most of the Mufassireen and Muhaddiseen agree that the plant itself appeared harmless to Adam and Hawa and quite attractive. Obviously, all the plants of Jannah are beautiful. The wheat plant, this was a wheat plant, and the wheat plant that grew in Jannah has been referred to as a tree with fruit because it was a cereal plant bearing delicious bread or cake or biscuit, a product of wheat, a product of flour that comes from wheat as its fruit. But this particular bread or cake or biscuit was so aromatic and so tasty, so delicious, as to be unimaginable to man and as to be irresistible to man. It was in its purest and its highest and its most sublime form. Look, there will be apples in Jannah. There will be other fruit in Jannah that you and I are accustomed to. And many of these fruits have been mentioned. Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in several ahadith has mentioned the fruits that you and I are accustomed to in the dunya as being also found in Jannah. But obviously in its highest form, in its purest form, and not like they appear on earth. So similarly, biscuit or bread or cake product, the best product that is made from the cereal plant wheat in its highest and purest form in paradise, that was this particular plant that was found. And you and I know that wheat flour forms the basic and the staple diet of man. Well, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time, that is it, man can survive on bread and water alone, he needs nothing else. So therefore, this is not a conclusion, but this has been mentioned by the Sahaba-e-Karam, Ridwanullahi ta'alahim ajmain, and the Muhaddiseen-e-Karam have taken this, and the Sahaba-e-Karam would have obtained this. Its source would have been Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, on earth, we are accustomed to a lengthy procedure of harvesting wheat and separating the grain from the chaff, and thereafter grinding the grain to produce a nutritious flour, which is then baked for bread or for cake or for making biscuits. This law, this procedure to plant the seed, to allow it to grow over a period, water it, nurture it, give it enough sunshine and shade and light, day and night and so on, and then eventually it grows, and then to harvest it, and then, you know, after it's ready and dry, and then to go through all the procedures that I have mentioned here. All this applies to earth. This is earthly law, natural law that applies to earth. This does not apply in Jannah. In Jannah, a vast variety of fruits are ready and ripe all the time on the trees, and the branches bow down when a request is made to eat of them. In Jannah, it is mentioned in clearly in Ahadith that those people who will be in Jannah, when they are resting below the shade of the fruit trees of Jannah, and they wish for an apple or whatever fruit there is in Jannah, and whatever kind of fruit there is in Jannah, when they feel for it, that's all, then the tree branches will bow down bearing laden with fruit. They will bow down and come and approach the hands of the person wishing for this particular fruit and ask and request this person, take off me and enjoy me. Alright, subhanallah, this is how the hadith describes it. And the person will pluck off it and he will eat of it, and it will be such as nothing imaginable. It's impossible for me to explain to you what the taste would be and how it would be. And obviously in Jannah there is no such thing as hunger, there is no such thing as thirst. So it's very, very difficult for us to understand this, but we accept it, for so it is mentioned in Quran and so it is mentioned in the Ahadith. That is the type of place Jannah is, and that is where Adam and Hawa are at this moment of time. So in Jannah, a vast variety of fruits are ready and ripe on the trees, and branches bow down when a request is made to eat of them. There is no planting procedure, growing procedure, harvesting procedure, and so on. No. There is no such lengthy procedure. The taste of the fruits of Jannah, their appearance and taste is indescribable. The human mind will not be able to fathom or understand it. The wheat plant, therefore, provides the basic food and nutritive diet for man on earth. This wheat plant, in all its glory and beauty, first stood in Jannah. And according to tradition, it was the fruit of this plant that was forbidden to Adam and Hawa, to which Shaitan gradually beckoned them and directed them with evil suggestions and whisperings, as contained in the ayat of the Quran, which I have recited at the beginning, just as I started this lesson. Shaitan found the resistance of both of them to his initial suggestions to be very, very determined and very solid. He was piqued by their resistance. So he decided to use further guile and further tact in order to deceive them. Being very, very astute, he had to wither them down with his delusions, with his bluffs, and with his deceptions. And the Quran tells us his next step. Shaitan now goes on to the next step. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us step by step the system and procedure that Shaitan adopts in order to deceive man. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَاسَمَهُمَا إِنِّي لَكُمَا لَمِنَ النَّاصِحِينَ. وقاسمهما إني لكما لمن الناصحين فدلهما بغرور Surah A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 22, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he, that is to Shaitan, took an oath, he swore to them. What did he swear to them? He swore to them saying, verily, he took a qasam. And he, Shaitan, took qasam. He swore to them saying, verily, I am one of those who gives you sound advice. I give you good counsel. And he caused them to fall through sheer deceit. And he caused them to fall. And he caused their downfall through sheer deceit. Through sheer deception. فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ The arch deceiver Shaitan was at his best. He had to delude them thoroughly and convincingly. He had to win their trust in order to subvert them. The best way to do this was by taking oaths and appearing to be honest and sincere, at which art Shaitan is a master. Shaitan does not hesitate to use any ploy to achieve his objective of deceiving man and leading him astray. The oath taking by Shaitan and his apparent sincerity and goodwill carried through to Hawa, and she was deeply affected by his advice. She determined there and then to follow it through and to convince Adam also to eat of the forbidden tree, the fruit of the forbidden tree. She would persuade Adam, she decided, to do so. For here was a well-meaning, good, counseling angel. She didn't know that that is Shaitan. So, she would persuade Adam to do so. In other words, to eat of the fruit of this tree also. She herself decided that she was going to partake of it, that she was going to eat it. The Quran says, فَدَلَّهُمَا بِغُرُورٍ And he, Shaitan, caused them to fall through sheer deceit. Meaning to fall, to be removed and expelled from Jannah onto earth. This is what the word fall here means. Generally we describe it as the downfall of Adam and Hawa. Hawa broke three fruits of the forbidden tree. She broke three fruits of the forbidden tree and she ate one of them. And she took two to Adam. When the sweet and the pleasant aroma of the forbidden fruit reached Adam's nostrils, he reacted, and he responded by requesting his throne to take him far away from this place where stood this forbidden tree. For Allah Ta'ala has forbidden that it should be eaten. His throne sped away on his instruction to a distance of 12 years away from the forbidden tree. But on arrival there, Adam found that the tree had simply followed him all the way. No matter how far he requested his throne to take him, the tree kept following him. Which tree? The forbidden tree kept following him, even to a distance of thousands of light years, to which his throne sped on his instructions, on his orders. I have added a note here for our information, and which goes as follows. A single year in heaven, a single year in Jannah, what is termed by scientists as a light year, a single light year in the heavens is equivalent to 9.5 billion kilometers according to Earth specifications. In the heavens, when we talk of a year, on earth, a year, a light year in the heavens would be equivalent to 9.5 billion kilometers. And in miles, it would be 6,000 billion miles. So when we say, and Adam requested his throne to move away from this tree 12 light years away, you can imagine. 12 years away, obviously we're discussing heaven, we're discussing paradise. You can imagine, you must multiply 12 each year by 9.5 billion kilometers or 6,000 billion miles. From this we can imagine how vast, how colossal space is in Jannah and how wide the heavens are. The human mind cannot comprehend this. Isn't this the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Pak says, look to my signs, in my signs you will buy the truth, you will find the truth that I am the creator, and such a creator can only be one? Obvious, brothers. How simple for man to conclude this. So don't, mankind should not wait until he dies or after he dies to discover the truth. All the holy kitabs and scriptures and all the anbiyas of Allah Ta'ala have reminded mankind of this truth. So no matter where Adam went to sit and relax in his throne and to engage in the ibadah and in devotion and adoration of Allah Ta'ala, there this forbidden tree followed him as well. Now, sensing Adam's alarm and perturbation, the tree said, here again, the laws that apply on earth do not apply in the heavens. Every creation of Allah Ta'ala in the heavens speaks. It speaks by the will and the qudra when granted to it of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So trees, plants and whatever else is in Jannah can address themselves by the permission and decree of Allah Ta'ala to anyone that they want to. And this instance to Adam. And so this tree that continuously followed Adam, no matter how far and distant he went, this tree addressed itself to Adam, seeing Adam so worried and perturbed as a result of it following him and not leaving him alone. The tree said, O Adam, whatever has been put out by Allah Ta'ala will take place. This is inevitable. No matter how distant you fly away, no matter how distant your flight, you will not be able to avoid me. For such is the decree of Allah Ta'ala. Note that Adam was able to instruct his throne. This is another note. Note that Adam was able to instruct his throne to move vast distances across Jannah, because in Jannah, everything is under the command of those who dwell in Jannah. Everything is there in its most excellent, exquisite, purest and unparalleled form, only for the wish, satisfaction and pleasure of the dwellers of Jannah, mankind. My brothers, it's impossible for us to imagine. Subhanallah, it's impossible. We cannot imagine what Jannah is. Let this only give you a mere fraction of an idea, one portion of a billionth, an idea merely, even lesser, of what Jannah is all about. Our minds will never ever be able to imagine what Jannah is and how worth it is in our small span of time, short span of time in life, to strive to attain to Jannah purely by pure belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Adam discovered that there was no escape from the forbidden tree. He would have to face the reality and he would have to accept whatever fate, whatever taqdeer had decreed. Hawa approached Adam. When he returned, Hawa approached Adam tentatively with the two fruits, the one she had eaten and the two she still held in her hand. So she took this and tentatively, demurely is the word, demurely, which also womankind has inherited from our mother Hawa. The demureness and the shyness and the shame, all these wonderful qualities that women have, all these they have inherited from the mother of mankind, Hawa alayhi salam. So Hawa approached Adam tentatively, demurely, with the two fruits of the tree in her hand, and Adam asked her what it was. She informed him that these were the fruits of the forbidden tree, and that she had eaten one of them, and she had held over two for him. Adam asked her, Hawa, tell me, how does it taste? And she replied, it tastes sweet and pleasant. Adam said, no, I cannot eat it. Still the resistance. No, I cannot eat it. I have promised Allah Ta'ala not to eat the fruit of this tree. This is how the Quran Majid reports this part of the story. Says the Quran Pak, وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسِيَا وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. Surah Taha, 20th Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 115, says the Quran, and we had heretofore given a command. In other words, we had made a covenant with Adam, but he forgot. He forgot the promise. He forgot the promise that he had made to Allah Ta'ala not to eat of the forbidden fruit. And we found not in him a firm resolution. Let's look at this translation again, into which I have inserted several words to clarify the ayat to you. وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Allah Ta'ala says, and Allah had before this, before the actual eating of this forbidden fruit, Allah says, and we had heretofore given a command to Adam, but he forgot it. And says Allah, فَنَسِيَ. Adam forgot about this covenant, this command, this promise that he had given. فَنَسِيَ, and he forgot. وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah found that Adam did not have a firm determination, he did not have a firm resolution, he was not steadfast. In another ayat, in Surah Taha, ayat number 121, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about this act of Adam as follows. Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَسَىٰ آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَىٰ. Surah Taha, ayat number 121, and Adam disobeyed his sustainer and was seduced by shaitan. And Adam disobeyed his sustainer, meaning that Adam ate of this forbidden fruit which he had been ordered, commanded by Allah Ta'ala, not to eat. He ate it. And says, Allah Ta'ala, فَغَوَىٰ. Why did he do so? Because he was seduced by shaitan. He was deceived by shaitan. Adam resisted eating the forbidden fruit to the very end, however. But Hawa had already eaten it. They were married. They were husband and wife. They were partners and sharers of life. They were fated to be together. The fate of the one was sealed with the fate of the other. Hawa offered the two fruits to Adam, whose resistance was at a low level and whose mind had lost recall for a moment. When Adam took the two fruits from her, he took them from her and he ate them. The Quran states very clearly, as quoted above, فَنَسِيَا. And Adam forgot. He ate it by mistake. There was no intentional and deliberate eating of the forbidden fruit. For that moment, Adam lacked a resolution, as Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran. وَلَمْ نَجِدْ لَهُ عَزْمًا. He became irresolute. He lacked firmness and steadiness and determination. As a result of losing his determination and lacking resolution, what Adam did was, in a moment of weakness, he ate this forbidden fruit. For that moment, Adam lacked resolution and firmness. And so the promise to Allah Ta'ala was broken. The result of eating the forbidden fruit was immediately felt by both. Their crowns, the moment they finished eating this forbidden fruit, that same moment, as soon as Adam ate it, not while Hawa had eaten it, but the moment Adam consumed of this forbidden fruit, the result of eating the forbidden fruit was immediately felt by both of them. Their crowns, the crowns of glory that had been placed by the malaikas on their heads, their crowns were removed, and their thrones were lost to them. And the heavenly garments came off their bodies. and left them with nothing to cover their shame. And this is how the Quran Majid reports this part of the story. فَلَمَّا زَاقَ الشَّجَرَةَ بَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْعَاتُهُمَا وَتَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلْ لَكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمَا عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ Surah A'raf, 7th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 22. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when they had tasted of the tree, their shame became manifest to them, and they began to join together the leaves of the garden to cover themselves. And their sustainer called to them, saying, did I not forbid you this tree? And did I not say to you, verily, Shaitan is your open enemy? Here is the ayat of the Quran about which we have spoken. The result of eating the fruit, the result was that they shed their clothing, in other words, the garments, the pure garments of Jannah were removed from their bodies and there was nothing left on their bodies. The crown went and so did their thrones. And when they had tasted of the tree, of the fruit of the forbidden tree, their shame became manifest to them. You know, the first thing that took place was they lost their clothing. And they began to join together the leaves of the garden of paradise to cover themselves. Whereafter they went from tree to tree seeking the leaves in order to cover their shame. This is in Quran. Ayat number 22 of Surah Araf, 7th Surah of the Quran. And their sustainer called to them saying, Allah Ta'ala, then they heard the voice of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala saying to them, did I not forbid you this tree? And did I not say to you, verily Shaitan is your open enemy, your declared enemy? Elsewhere in the Quran Majid, this matter is recorded as follows. We look at Surah Taha. In Surah Taha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and repeats the story in the following way, with the following words, فَأَكَلَ مِنْهَا فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا وَتَفِقَ يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَسَى آدَمُ رَبَّهُ فَغَوَى Ayat number 121 of Surah Taha, 20th Surah of the Quran, translation goes as follows, and they both ate thereof. In other words, of the forbidden tree. They both ate thereof. Thus their shame became manifest to them, and they began to join together the leaves of the garden, meaning of Jannah, to cover themselves. So Adam failed to observe a law of his sustainer. So he erred. فَغَوَى Allah Ta'ala says, so he erred, so he made a mistake. Let's look at this translation quickly again with a few insertions. And they both ate thereof, they both ate the fruit of the forbidden tree, thus their shame became manifest to them. In other words, their clothes of Jannah flew off their bodies, came off their bodies, and they began to join together the leaves of paradise of Jannah. They immediately after they shed their clothing and the clothing went off, the crown and throne and everything, and they were in their shame. At the same time, they immediately looked around and they saw the branches of the trees of Jannah, and on these branches they saw broad leaves. Some trees have very broad leaves, and it struck their mind. This also by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the moment they saw these leaves, which can be easily broken, they made their way to these trees and requested of these trees to grant them of their leaves. We will hear further on what happened thereafter. But what the Quran says, because the Quran is brief, the Quran says, then they began to join together the leaves of Jannah to cover themselves. So Adam failed to observe a law of his sustainer. In other words, he broke a command of Allah Ta'ala, so he erred. In other words, or this word, فَغَوَى. Two translations can be given for it.
One translation is he made a mistake or he erred, and the other translation is, and so his life became miserable. Faghawar also means for life to become miserable. Both Adam and Hawa wish to remain eternally in Jannah. So when Shaitan, pretending to be a wise and good counseling angel, told them about the forbidden tree being Shajaratul Khuld, meaning the tree of eternal hope and eternal life, they did not recognize Shaitan or suspect him of any deviousness or devilishness. They didn't know it was Shaitan. The desire to remain in the presence of Allah Ta'ala in an abode as beautiful and as perfect, as ultimate as Jannah, far outweighed lesser considerations. Thus they fell into the trap of Shaitan. Allah Ta'ala had already decreed events, however, and Allah, in His glory and in His wisdom, His decree is the final one. Adam did not break the law intentionally and deliberately. He was deluded by Shaitan. He was not only deluded by Shaitan, but he also suffered from a momentary lapse of his mind. In that love and obedience of Allah and the desire to be close to Allah and to be eternally in Jannah blinded Adam and Hawa to the deviousness of Shaitan. And so they unsuspectingly and unwittingly fell into the cleverly laid trap of Shaitan. This is why Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran that Adam erred, that he defaulted. Faghawa is the word. And so his life became a miserable one afterwards. In another part of the Quran Majid, the incident is related in a nutshell in the words of Allah Ta'ala as follows. I'm giving you a third ayat of the Quran to bear out the story of what happened in Jannah when Adam and Hawa ate of the forbidden fruit. Three times repeated in the Quran or mentioned in the Quran. Now I recite to you from Surah Baqarah, I've recited for you from Surah A'raf, I've recited for you from Surah Taha, and now I recite to you the same story from Surah Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah as follows, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. Look how each time the story is repeated with all its meanings included in these words, but each time the sentence grows shorter and shorter, and the shorter the sentence of the Quran is mentioning an incident, any story in the Quran, the shorter it is, the more the exposition, subhanallah. The longer it is, the less the exposition. The shorter it is, the more briefer it is, the greater the exposition, subhanallah. Who can achieve this with language? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the miracle of the Quran. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said everything in these few words. Then Shaitan caused them both to slip on account of the forbidden tree and turned them out of the state of happiness and contentedness wherein they had been in Jannah. Again, I've inserted a few words. Then Shaitan caused them both to slip, to err, to make a mistake on account of this forbidden tree and turned them out from the state of happiness and contentedness, from the state of joy in which they had been in Jannah. Alright? Now, as I say, every time I give you these translations, I have inserted certain words. An accurate translation would not explain to you these events. Accurate translation would be, then Shaitan caused them both to slip on account thereof and turned them out from wherein they had been. Alright? But I say Allah's language is so pure, so masterful, so constructive that in these few words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said everything. A whole story of what transpired in Jannah between the forbidden tree and Adam and Hawa alayhum as-salam. Here we have a clear and excellent account of Adam and Hawa lapsing into a trap connived by shaitan, their arch enemy, which led to their loss of the blissful and serene life in Jannah. Now mark. Of the blissful and serene life in Jannah. Now mark this translation, these words of the Quran, wherein Allah says, then shaitan. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. And shaitan, through his waswas, shaitan caused them to slip. They did not slip. Shaitan caused them to err. Shaitan caused them. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Upon whom is the blame? Don't go for the Christian version. Don't go for the Judaic version. Don't go for any version. Go for the Quranic version. For Quran is haq. Only Quran is haq. All the others have been perverted. So Quran says, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانِ. Shaitan caused them to eat of the forbidden tree. And says Allah, فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا. And shaitan caused that they be removed from Jannah. Subhanallah. Don't say Adam and Hawa committed sin, na'uzubillah, and therefore they were removed from Jannah. Because you are contradicting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adam and Hawa didn't commit sin. Here is the word. فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا. Shaitan caused them to deviate. Shaitan caused them to slip. And it is shaitan itself that was the cause that contributed to them being expelled from Jannah and being placed on earth. But there is another consideration from this ayat also that you must appreciate. That everything that happened there happened by the decree and command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the overriding factor. For all this would not have happened if it was not by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In all this is the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For right at the beginning, when man was not even created, when Adam was not even molded, at that time already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had informed the malaikas in the heavens that I plan to create a creature who will be my vicegerent on earth. They Allah's khalifa fil earth. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that his khalifa would be in Jannah. So there you can see the eternal wisdom of Allah, hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man was not planned for Jannah. Adam and Hawa were not planned for Jannah. They were planned to occupy earth. So certain developments had to take place to cause Adam and Hawa to be sent down to earth. And this is how things occur. And remember, what did I tell you? I told you last time, look at a child. Before we become adults, we have to go through stages of life. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, with a kun fayakun, why go through the procedure of birth and suffering, the pangs of birth and lying in the womb of the mother, and then all the shape and formation taking place? Can't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, couldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have made man in one jiffy, in one shot, and there was man, and given him all the intellect and all the ability and all the faculty and all the senses? Yes, of course Allah can. But a procedure has to be gone through. And that is why these stories are very important. The Quran is not wasting our time. Na'udhu billah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling us a whole lot of fiction and fables. Na'udhu billah. May Allah forgive me for what I'm saying. But so many people believe all this to be tales and fiction and myths. It is not so. Not what is in the Quran. Yes, there are fables. There's much fiction in the world. And there's a lot of myths that abound in the world. But what is in the Quran is not myth. Wallah, it is haq, it is truth. And there it is. Then shaitan caused them to err, to slip, and he turned them out from that wherein they had been. Surah Baqarah, second surah of the Quran, ayat number 36. Here we have a clear and excellent account of Adam and Hawa lapsing into a trap, connived by shaitan. And brothers, one point I forgot to make here, and I wish to mention it before we proceed further. Look at the connivance and the deviousness of shaitan. Adam and Hawa, the mother and father of mankind. Subhanallah. Yes, beaten, outwitted by shaitan. How cunning and devious my shaitan be. Isn't there a particular lesson in this for mankind? Yes, there is. And that lesson is, watch out for shaitan, be careful of shaitan, do not fall into the trap of shaitan. Notice how no blame is being apportioned to either Adam or Hawa by Allah Ta'ala for whatever happened in Jannah. Men therefore have no just reason to place sin and guilt on either of our parents. Also bear in mind, unlike the Christian version, the Islamic one is that our parents were not roaming around in the garden of paradise naked. Na'uzubillah. Here you can see. This was just a momentary thing. It happened for a moment. And immediately our parents ran. Adam and Hawa ran and covered themselves with the leaves from the trees of Jannah, about which I'm going to tell you now. So they did. That is a false story. Absolutely. Those, I don't want to say these things. Those who justify nudist colonies, this is what they mention, this type of thing. Therefore, have no just reason to place sin and guilt on either of our parents, on either Adam or Hawa. They themselves, any person that does so, themselves will be sinning if they do so, for the messengers of Allah Ta'ala. And Adam was a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. They are innocent of all sin. And Adam was both the father of mankind and he was a prophet and a messenger of Allah Ta'ala. It is a grievous offense and a major sin to consider them sinful or guilty. The Quran Majid tells us, as indicated in the two previous ayat, that Adam and Hawa, in the words of the Quran, فَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا, their shame became manifest to them. This was as a result of eating of the forbidden fruit of the tree. They lost their clothing of Jannah. And they went from tree to tree of the trees of Jannah, requesting of its leaves to cover their shame. None would give off its leaves. No tree would grant them of their leaves. When the trees noticed, the trees of Jannah are sensible, they have senses. Imagine how sensitive these trees are, that in the hadith we are informed, when the desire and the wish comes into the heart of a dweller of Jannah, a mu'min in Jannah, only when the desire in him and the wish arises that he have of this fruit, particular fruit of Jannah, then immediately the tree comes forth and bows down, brings down his branches, have of my fruit, my brother. You, O Jannati, have of this fruit and enjoy of this fruit. How sensitive they must be and how sensible they must be. So here, in the words that Adam and Hawa walked from tree to tree of Jannah, and when these trees had seen this pronouncement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereby their clothing was removed from them, and Adam and Hawa being told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did I not warn you? Did I not warn you, said Allah Ta'ala, did I not warn you not to eat of the fruit of this tree? And did I not tell you that shaitan is your enemy? When the trees of Jannah heard this, then they themselves kept back, kept aloof, kept aside. What will happen to us, they thought. The trees thought to themselves, being granted minds of their own by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah, that if we give our leaves, maybe we will offend Allah Ta'ala. This is why they held back and refused to grant Adam and Hawa of their leaves when approached by the two of them. So they went from tree to tree of Jannah, requesting of its leaves to cover their shame. None would give off its leaves until they came to the fig tree. Teen. The fig tree humbly bowed to their request and granted them of its leaves to cover their shame, to cover their bodies, to cover themselves. Which tree? Wat-teen. The teen tree, that is to say, the fig tree. But there was another tree, a much smaller tree, which also bowed down, stooped down, and allowed them to pluck off its leaves. And that was a particular tree, which is not, although the name is mentioned as the aloe tree, but this particular aloe tree that stood in Jannah is not like the aloe tree, the bitter aloe tree you and I know. This was an aloe tree which is linked to, according to my research, it's linked to something like the sandalwood tree. Like the sandalwood tree, a tree whose wood has got a great fragrance, a very aromatic type of one. So I will mention that it is the aloe tree, but don't confuse it with the bitter type of aloe tree with a lot of thorns that you and I are accustomed to in Africa. Alright, this particular aloe tree, as mentioned in the Ahadith, this particular aloe tree was one that had a kind of wood that gave great fragrance. I will speak of it just now. The aloe tree also permitted them the use of its leaves. The Quran Majid states, and they began to join together the leaves of the garden, meaning of Jannah, to cover themselves. وَاتَّفِقَ يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. So the leaves, we understand, were not big enough. Brothers, here I may mention that according to the traditions, Adam and Hawa were people of huge proportion, gigantic stature. They had to be. They were the mother and father, the father and mother of mankind. So they were not of slight proportion and slightly built, but they were very strongly built and they had huge stature. Their frame was a very solid one and a very huge one. Big. Tall they were. Alright, we're not going to go into the details of how tall they were. I'll tell you the reason why, because there is a little bit of conflicting opinion by the Mufassirin and Muhaddisin on this, so we will not go into it. Some say they were very high, very huge and very tall, but they would have been, brothers. They were the first in mankind. Alright, and they lived for a very long time. So we're not going to go into those details. We will just say that they were of large proportion, of gigantic stature. So, the leaves were placed together, one on top of the other, to give them proper cover, next to one another and so on, and one on top of the other in order to ground them proper cover, and they were sort of plucked together by each of them. The leaves were placed together, one on top of the other, to give them proper cover. Thereupon, a divine sound was heard, a divine voice was heard in Jannah. O fig tree, you treated them with consideration, with sympathy and with kindness. Allah Ta'ala now speaks to this fig tree. Why? Because the fig tree bowed down and it granted them of its leaves and it gave them permission to use its leaves in order to cover their shame. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala now makes this pronouncement, or rather announcement. O fig tree, you treated them with consideration and with kindness. For this, you, O fig tree, will receive of taste of distinction among trees, and you will receive curative properties. In other words, there will be medicinal value for man in your particular fruit, in this tree. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this announcement. And then, and O aloe tree, the announcement, divine announcement continues, and O aloe tree, your wood will be loved by all for its fragrance and for its vitality. I may mention here that this aloe wood tree gives off a fragrance which has curative powers when this wood is taken. And what they used to do in the old, at particular time, they used to take this particular wood and dry it, keep it in the house. And whenever anybody was sick, then they would burn this wood tree, and the smoke that would emerge from it, it would give off, even without burning, it used to give off in the house a powerful, aromatic, beautiful, wonderful scent and aroma into the whole house. It used, like sandalwood does. That's why I'm linking it and giving an idea, something like sandalwood. And all the tasbihs and all the early ornaments and so on, or whatever kind they were made of this tree, this wood was treasured by them. Its main use was, of course, for sickness and so on. They used to burn it, and the incense or the smoke that it used to emit, they used to cover up, like we do with Vicks, you know. They used to cover it, and this person would be low, and he would breathe in, take in this wonderful smell, scent that this burning would give. And this would cure them. It would clear the chest and clear the nose and so forth and so on, fever and all these things. So they used to use this particular aloe for that purpose. Figs do have, as you and I know, figs do have natural curative powers, and aloes do have natural medicinal qualities, and both of these are largely utilized as medicine by mankind from the distant past. Of for as long as there have been humans in this world, even today, the fig and the aloe is used for its medicinal properties, by man. After eating the forbidden fruit, which as we have heard was the fruit or the biscuit or the cake of the wheat tree, Adam and Hawa not only lost their heavenly garments, but they also appeared to lose their sanity, at least for a while. They went out of their minds. They were grief, of course. They were grief-stricken. They were remorse-stricken by their particular action. To have disobeyed a command of Allah Ta'ala was inconceivable. They were thoroughly misled and deluded by shaitan, yes. But this did not detract from the burden of what they had done. The error was committed by mistake, yes. But they had been clearly warned by Allah Ta'ala, and the forbidden tree had been pointed out to them. The scene was a sad and a pathetic one. Adam and Hawa wandered around Jannah, sad, dejected, and depressed. Such was the state of their melancholia and despair that they failed to heed the divine call of Allah Ta'ala beckoning them with attention. In other words, the divine voice was heard in Jannah calling them to attention. But because they were drowned in their sorrow, they did not respond because they didn't even hear the voice, the divine voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was then sent by Allah ta'ala to bring them out of their despondency. He came to Adam and he said, "O Adam, your sustainer calls you." Adam responded by saying, "Labbaik, O Allah, labbaik, we are here and we are thoroughly ashamed of ourselves." The Quran Majid records this part of the story as follows, says the Quran Pak, Surah Araf, ayat number 22, continuing, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَادَاهُمَا رَبُّهُمَا أَلَمْ أَنْهَكُمَا أَنْتِلْكُمَا الشَّجَرَةِ وَأَقُلَّكُمَا إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. And their sustainer called to them saying, "Did I not forbid you that tree? And did I not say to you, verily, shaitan is your open enemy?" Deeply ashamed and thoroughly dejected, Adam and Hawa became fully aware of the measure of their infraction. And the word infraction means they're breaking the law. This is what actually happened there. Adam and Hawa committed infraction, which means they broke the law, command of Allah Ta'ala. And in utter remorse and resignation, they said, the two of them said, as inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, "Qala rabbana zalamna anfusana wa in taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin." Surah Araf, Surah number 7, ayat number 23. They said, "Our sustainer, O our Rabb, we have wronged our souls. And if you forgive us not, and if you be not merciful on us, we will surely be of the losers." قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And the two of them said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "O our Rabb, O our sustainer, we have wronged our souls." In other words, we have dealt unjustly with ourselves. And O Allah, if you do not forgive us, and if you are not merciful on us, then O Allah, we will perish. We will die. There is no cause for us to continue living. Such was their sorrow that they were almost demented with dejection, and they sunk into an abyss of dismal despondency, that they beseeched Allah Ta'ala in the most humble terms for forgiveness and for mercy. Without it, they would be lost. What a profound lesson. What a profound lesson for the children of Adam and Hawa is in this, and in this particular dua. Their cry of the heart and their humble appeal was followed by this reply or this response from Allah Ta'ala, the merciful, the beneficent Allah. When they made this plea to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they pleaded repentance and they made this particular dua, which dua they were inspired with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this pronouncement or makes this judgment, قَالَ احْبِتُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَىٰ حِينٍ. قال فيها تحيونا وفيها تموتونا ومنها تخرجون. سورة أعراف 7 سورة of the Quran آيات number 24 and آيات number 25 says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said, get you down, the one of you, an enemy to the other, and for you there shall be a habitation on the earth and a provision for a season. Allah said, therein will you live, and therein will you die, and therefrom will you be brought forth at the resurrection. Here's the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's response. They have eaten the forbidden fruit, they have shed their clothing, they have now covered themselves with the leaves of Jannah. Now they are wandering and walking around, dejected and utterly despondent in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls to them, they don't hear it. That is why I'm saying they were so utterly despondent and completely drowned in their sorrow, that they did not hear the voice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the calling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he shook them both. And then Adam alayhi salam told them that, look, Allah is calling you. Allah is calling you. And Nabi Adam alayhi salam immediately responded by saying, Labbaik, O Allah, Labbaik, we are here, but Allah, we are lost. We are lost and drowned in ourselves for what we have done. We are thoroughly ashamed of ourselves. Look what has happened to us. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds them that Allah ta'ala says, did I not tell you? Didn't I warn you? I did tell you, don't go near this tree. I told you, don't eat of its fruit. Did I not tell you, shaitan is your enemy? So they pleaded with Allah ta'ala, and they read that particular dua of istighfar, which I recited to you. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. When they made this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately came back to them with this particular pronouncement, get down both of you, meaning go down to earth both of you, be taken down from Jannah onto earth for what you have done. And on earth, one of you will be an enemy to the other. I'll explain that just now. The one of you will be an enemy to the other on earth. And you shall live on earth. In other words, there will be a habitation for you. You will build yourselves homes and shelters, and you will feed yourselves off on earth, where you will find provision for a season. And said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for a season meaning a period of time from the time of birth to the time of death. And then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therein you will live in this earth, O Adam and Hawa and your children, on this earth you will live, on this earth you will die, and then from this earth you will be raised at the Ba'as, at the time of resurrection, for the judgment day. The words, the one of you will be an enemy to the other, has a twofold meaning. One meaning is, it pertains to the feuding and the fighting between the children of Adam in the world, between nations and tribes and peoples in the world. And also it means the enmity and the hatred that will exist between men and the shayateen. This will be an ongoing matter for as long as there are men and shayateen in the world, on earth. History proves how true this ayat has been. Men have fought battles and wars for many reasons throughout time with one another. And throughout time, until the day of judgment, shaitan will continue to delude mankind. So this has been mentioned in the Quran when? This was mentioned then. When? Right at the beginning, when man and woman, when Adam and Hawa, the father, the parents of mankind, first came down to earth, at that time already it was mentioned that men would involve themselves in enmity with one another, and the result of enmity and greed would be wars and battles and hatred and fighting and so on, and these would go on. Here is the words of the Quran. قَالَ اَحْبِتُوا بَعَضُكُمْ لِبَعَضٍ عَدُوٌ بَعَضُكُمْ لِبَعَضٍ عَدُوٌ. The one of you, one nation will be an enemy of the other. One tribe will be a brother of brother, sister of sister, family of families. And so on, all this between man will be an ongoing affair. Because of the weakness of man. These are the things that would go on. And of course, the other meaning of this word is, men and shayateen would be enemy of one another. Now, let's head for ending today's lesson. The divine decision and decree of Allah Ta'ala on creating man as the vicegerent of Allah Ta'ala on earth had come to fruition of its own, according to the will, the plan, and the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala. Brothers, whatever happened, happened by the qudra of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Please understand this very, very clearly. The divine decree, which is known as the qada, stated that the fate and the taqdeer, which is qadr or taqdeer, the divine decree, which is qada of Allah, qada and qadr, the qada and the qadr, the divine decree stated that the fate and the taqdeer of man was to be decided on earth, not in Jannah, which means that Adam and Hawa's stay in heaven was only an interim measure. It was a temporary sojourn. This was also one of the fears that led Adam and Hawa to eating the forbidden fruit, for Shaitan duped them, deluded them into believing that by eating it, they would be granted eternal life in Jannah, which was what they mostly desired. Nevertheless, a stage had been reached now where, as a result of non-compliance with the law and as a result of a breach of divine command, the father and the mother of mankind were to be removed to earth, which would be their habitat and where they would find provision until the last day. Brothers, up till here, is it all right? You want me to carry on for another 15 minutes? Come on, say. My time is up officially. Now you want it at your request. Allahu Akbar. All right, let's carry on for a little while. I'll take it to 5:15. It's now 5:00. We'll take it to 5:15, right? Inshallah. I don't want to spend, because a lot of brothers complain after, they say, Mulana goes on too long. Uskani dars to kumi. All right, let's take it from there. What happened now afterwards is as follows. This part of the story of creation is recorded as follows in another part of the Quran. Subhanallah. How important must the story be? I've read the story for you from so many different parts of the Quran. Now look what Allah Ta'ala says. We go back to Surah Taha, wherein Allah Ta'ala expands on the story further. Says Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, ثُمَّ جَتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى قَالَ اهْبِطَا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ فَإِمَّا يَعْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنِ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَا فَلَا يَضِلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنكًا وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى سُورَةُ طه 20th سورة of the Quran, ayat number 122, 123 and 124, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter. Now, when Allah says, thereafter, summaj tabahu, that means to say, after eating the forbidden fruit. So thereafter, summa, then, or thereafter. What happened thereafter? Says Allah. Now Allah Ta'ala is saying the story. The first one I read to you, Surah Araf. Now I'm telling you from Surah Taha. The same story repeated elsewhere. Says Allah Ta'ala, thereafter, after eating the forbidden fruit, the sustainer, his sustainer, accepted him, accepted Adam and Hawa, and turned to him with mercy and guided him. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not throw Adam aside for what happened. But Allah ta'ala says, summa ajtabahu rabbuhu fataba alayhi. Allah ta'ala forgave him. Thereafter, after eating the forbidden fruit, his sustainer accepted him on his repentance and turned to him with mercy and guided him. Allah said to him, get you down from here, all of you. The one of you an enemy of the other. But hereafter will come guidance to you from me. And whosoever will follow my guidance will not go astray, nor will they be distressed, meaning in the world. And whosoever will turn aside from my admonition, verily he will lead a miserable life, meaning on earth, he will lead a wretched life. And we, says Allah, and Allah will raise him up to appear before us on the day of judgment. Who? The people who are in disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, which Allah says here, and whosoever will turn aside from my admonition. Verily, such a one will lead a miserable life in the world. And Allah Ta'ala says, and we will raise him up to appear before us on the day of judgment, stone blind. Totally blind. Look how, in other words, look when is the warning, why is the Quran got the story? So that you and I, the reciters of the Quran, may know that these particular teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were for all time to mankind. Every Rasul and every Nabi taught this to mankind. Oh mankind, believe in Akhirah. We are going to be judged by Allah. We are going to be resurrected. No matter you die and your body be thrown into a million pieces, in a million parts of the world. No matter whether you die and are burnt into pieces and you become ashes, doesn't matter. No matter whether we cut you up into pieces and throw you in a million different places in this world, it doesn't matter. When the resurrection takes place, all your pieces will be brought together and you will be brought to life and you will be made to come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and held accountable for your actions. No escape. All time that has been the eternal teaching of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah ta'ala is mentioning all these things in the Quran in the form of a story, the story of Adam and Hawa, who were the first human creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how at the very beginning of time, in the creation of Adam and Hawa, man is being warned by Allah ta'ala of his object in life, of his purpose in life. Allah ta'ala showed mercy and leniency to Adam and Hawa, the parents of mankind, and released them from their breach with mercy and compassion. Here you can see Allah Ta'ala himself says that Allah Ta'ala released them, made them ma'af, forgave them with mercy and with compassion, and Allah Ta'ala will continue to guide them, guide mankind, them and their children throughout time in the world. However, the deed, though mistakenly committed, was done, since even a mistake by a prophet is a breach, and the decree of Allah Ta'ala was made known to them very clearly. They would be sent down to planet Earth. There they were to dwell, and there they would live, and there they would fight, and there they would feud. They would receive guidance from Allah Ta'ala in this world, and they would have to choose between guidance and hindrance, between belief and disbelief, between tawheed and kufr and shirk, between truth and falsehood, and between right and between wrong. And they, if they chose the right options, then they would succeed, both in the world and in the hereafter. Otherwise, they would end as miserable failures, and in the hereafter, where it matters most, they would find themselves stone blind, arising stone blind, ready to be thrown into hell. What a timely warning has been granted to man. But how forgetful is man? How forgetful is man? How forgetful is man? Everybody knows the story of what Shaitan did to earliest man, to Adam and Hawa. But very few derive a lesson from this story. Very few learn a lesson from it. The stories in the Quran, my dear brothers, the stories in the Quran, all the stories in the Quran carry a message of great importance and of great purport. In other words, of great significance. And these should not be ignored. They are life's teachings.